I'm Mark Bayshore. We're glad you're along here today for Current State. It's Wednesday, which means it's Neighbors in Action Day here on Current State, when we visit with area residents doing their part to make life better here in the Lansing, East Lansing, Mid-Michigan area. We have, of course, weathered two major winter storms here in the past 3 weeks. It's been widely reported that thousands of people who lost power following the December 21st ice storm found themselves with little or no reliable information about when or if their electricity would be restored. That prompted a number of citizens in the community to take it upon themselves to go looking for answers and to share what they found online. In today's Neighbors in Action segment, we're talking with two of those people. Dan Ryan lives in Lansing. Alice Drager is an East Lansing resident, and both spent a great deal of time on social media relaying critical information about the outage. Dan and Alice, welcome to Current State.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dan, what was your experience with the storm exactly? How were you impacted by it?
I was without power for 11 days. I was one of the last 500 people to get power, I believe. There was also some
11 days.
11 days.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I got on the leaderboards on that one.
Okay. And at what point did you begin looking for answers about the outage from the BWL?
Well, looking for answers was probably day one. Looking for any sort of information about timelines or estimates or even really trying to, if anything, really, I was just hoping to get the phone call through, like being able to actually have someone at the BWL answer their phone.
And so ultimately, you took it upon yourself to do what?
Well, I started Christmas Day. I was we were staying at my brother's house in Bath, and I was driving back twice a day to check on the house, to make sure the pipes didn't freeze, things like that. And as I was driving back and forth, especially at night, I realized just how dark everything was.
Mm-hmm.
Entire streets, entire neighborhoods, just completely pitch black. And trying to find answers for that, I realized that I wasn't the only person. I mean, obviously, there were a lot of people affected as well, but it wasn't until I started driving back and forth that I realized just the sheer magnitude of the problem.
And you had to end up acting as something of a field reporter here. How did you get started with that? Who did you talk to?
Well, it started on the Facebook posts on the Border Water and Light's own Facebook page. They would provide updates every hour. Every 8 hours or so, with the exception of the weekend, where it went up to 18 hours without an update from the BWL. There were people asking for information, anything, has anyone even seen a truck in the area or in any areas. And since I was driving back and forth, I actually stumbled across a couple of them. And so I relayed that information, and then people started asking me for more information. And so I kept driving.
Okay. Alice Drager, tell us how you responded to this. How were you impacted, first of all, by the storm, and how did you respond?
We live right about a quarter mile away from City Hall, a quarter mile away from Michigan State, all of which never lost power. Our neighborhood in Oakwood lost power for 9 days. And what I did was try, as other people did, to get power restored. And I decided that once we did get power restored, I would follow the lead of Dan and try to help other people get restored. You know, the important thing to understand, you mentioned that Dan was doing social media, and that's true, he was, but he was doing something much more important. He was actually going out and checking for real to see what was really on and what was really off. What Jeff Pratt in East Lansing and Dan Ryan in Lansing and I discovered was that you couldn't trust the Board of Water and Light system to know who was on and who was off.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, what happened was the Board of Water and Light system kept erasing people's outage reports. It was doing that in part because of the way the line reporting system happens. The line report would report that, for example, a block was back on. But what it wouldn't know was that individual houses had lines down, so they weren't connected to that line.
Okay.
But their outage report would be wiped out of the system. And these families wouldn't know that they had been wiped out of the system, and they would sit in the dark waiting, hoping. Some of them would keep calling, but over and over again, BWL's outage system would wipe them out of the system. So what we were doing was driving around and actually finding out for real who had power, who didn't have power. If they said somebody was reconnected, we contacted the homeowner to see if it was true. And a lot of times it wasn't true. And we agitated for them again and again and again to get them reconnected. There was one family I had to ask 5 times because BWL or the police kept saying they were reconnected. They weren't reconnected. I've never met these people. I just worked with them on the phone. So that was the kind of stuff that we were doing. We were trying to find electricians for people. We were trying to find generators. I tried to organize firewood for my neighborhood, which the city clerk of East Lansing personally provided. I asked the city for hot showers for people so they could get their core body temperatures back up. Basically, what we were doing were needs assessments and on-the-ground reporting as to what people needed. And this wasn't being done adequately by the cities, and it certainly wasn't being done adequately by BWL.
And you camped out at the Hanna Center in East Lansing, where you gathered an awful lot of information, correct?
I did. I sat there for many hours with the folks from BWL. I ended up making friends with people from BWL. And what was clear to me was they were struggling against a system that was broken. So we were trying to help fill in the gaps of the system that was broken. Those people were working really hard. The BWL reps at those centers were working really hard. The line crews were working really hard. They did not have a system that supported the level of work they were having to put in.
Dan, tell us more about how this unfolded throughout the course of your activity here. Then, did you focus primarily on Facebook then, or what?
I focused both on Facebook and on Twitter. I created a Twitter account called BWL Outage, and any new information that I found, if I came across an area that was supposedly being worked on and didn't have any crew activity, or as Alice mentioned, if there were homes that were confirmed green by the board but were still dark, I would post both on Twitter, on the Twitter account, as well as Facebook as well.
What has the Board of Water and Light Administration had to say about your activities? Anything?
I think they basically don't want to hear from us, from what I can tell. I think they want to tell a story that's a happy story, that everybody worked hard and everybody did a great job. Everybody did work really hard, but the system was broken in which they were working. And there hasn't yet been an honest assessment of the ways in which that system was broken. The number one issue was there weren't enough crews on the ground. As Dan mentioned, we would drive around trying to find a single crew, and it was really hard to find crews. And when you found crews, they were tired, they were working 16-hour days, they were working nonstop, 7 days a week. It was clear to us, doing the simple math, it was going to take forever to get reconnected unless they got more crews. And it took until we organized a protest and people went down to the press conference and turned that into a protest before BWL finally hired crews. Once they hired crews, everything started to change. So my neighborhood, for example, was out 9 days, 34 houses on a single line. And we told them that. It's one line that's down, 34 houses. It took, when the crew showed up, 45 minutes to fix it. A couple of guys, a wire and a fuse, 45 minutes, and we were finally out of the dark. Now, why did it take that long? It took that long because we didn't have enough crews. And that crew didn't find us because BWL sent them, because BWL kept losing everybody in the outage system. What happened was a neighbor of ours a few blocks north had power back and noticed a crew working on a couple of houses. He went over to them and he said to them, listen, there's a whole neighborhood just a few blocks south that's completely in the dark. Would you please go over there next? And they did. They came over to us not because BWL sent them. They came over because a neighbor begged them to come help us. And they came over. 45 minutes later, we're back up. 9 days later.
We're talking with Dan Ryan of Lansing and Alice Drager of East Lansing, who both took it upon themselves to share important information online and social media here rather spontaneously after the recent ice storm here in mid-Michigan. Dan, could you tell you were connecting with an awful lot of people after you were at this for a while?
Yeah, actually, at first it was just me doing some scouting around the areas and trying to find things. But after a while, really after maybe the first night, other people started posting to Facebook that they too were driving around in their own neighborhoods looking for crews, finding activity, posting information back to the Facebook page. I was also getting a lot of people on Twitter as well sending me details about status updates and crews also.
Do you two have jobs?
I mean,
are you now unemployed as a result of all of this activity?
Thankfully, yeah. No, but...
No, seriously.
No, we do have jobs. I do purposely work part-time so I can do advocacy work, but my normal advocacy work is for medical issues, for medical ethics issues. I don't normally do this kind of advocacy work. But I dropped everything and did advocacy work for this, and I think Dan had extraordinary skills, and we were following his lead in many ways. You know, I have to tell you a story about Dan, and that is that 10 days in, I got a direct message from Jeff Pratt, our collaborator, and Jeff emailed me and said, I've got a special one for you. I really want you to work on this one. I said, sure, who is it? And he gives me the address, and he says, it's Dan Ryan. And I said, are you kidding me? Dan Ryan doesn't have power, and he's not even agitating for himself? And Jeff said, no. I said, man, I only took this up when I got power back. Dan has been working for the people for 10 days and not even really pushing for himself. So I called my buddies at BWL and was like, Dan Ryan doesn't have power. And they finally got on that one. But it was really, to me, extraordinary that he was working that hard for other people and while he was still with himself without power.
Do you think the board will be in? It sounds to me as if the Board of Water and Light will be incorporating some of the more sophisticated, up-to-date, 21st century social media tools that you two just took it upon yourself to launch into. Here. Alice, you were at the meeting last night. Is that your understanding?
They say they've hired a social media rep, and that's great. But, you know, I'm not on Facebook. I just barely got on Twitter in the last few months. What I want to emphasize that a lot of what I did with the people I worked with in East Lansing, including Jeff, was knocking on doors. And this was fundamentally, to me, the problem of what happened, is people were relying on computers too much. They were assuming that the computers would tell them who was without power, who needed to still be put back on, how to do that. In fact, what I found again and again in East Lansing was the computers were wrong. And what I had to do was literally knock on a door. I knocked on so many strangers' doors. And you know what? Nobody ever begrudged me knocking on their door to ask them, do you have power? Everybody was happy to see you. Even if they had power, they said, yes, I have power.
So this was an emergency that required a more grassroots person-to-person, face-to-face approach.
Absolutely. And This is one of the things I asked of the police chief in East Lansing, and she took it upon herself to put together paper information. When on the ninth day or the eighth day that we were facing, I think it was December 29th, I was so cold and depressed, I decided to just do a needs assessment of my own neighborhood. So I walked around with pen and paper and knocked on the doors and asked people, are you still staying in the house? How many people are here? What fuel are you using? Do you have a carbon monoxide detector? And what do you need? And people told me what they needed, and I conveyed that need assessment to the police. My question is, why didn't the city sooner do that door-to-door needs assessment? Ask people simply, what do you need from us? And start getting them that. You know, people told me, I need a generator. People told me, I've got a generator. I need an electrician to hook it up. People told me, I just need more firewood. People told me, I need gas. These were basic needs that could have been met by the cities, but it's because people don't knock on doors. It's considered somehow impolite or inappropriate to go knock on a door and say, are you okay? Do you need anything? It's much more important in a situation like this, particularly because the most vulnerable are not on social media. Old people, people who are poor, they are not on social media. Those are the people who are the most vulnerable and need you to knock on the door.
Dan, do you tend to agree with that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think the reliance of the BWL to relay information solely on their Facebook page, I had to like their page and open up a lot of my own privacy controls just so that I could be able to communicate with people and with the BWL on Facebook. Luckily, I understand technology, so that's not a huge question to ask someone like me, but Alice is absolutely right. The elderly don't understand that. They mm-hmm. They might not even have access to that. Mm-hmm. They may only have a radio.
But her larger point is that even if they did have access to it, this is the kind of emergency that required something different.
Yes.
Anyway, it really required an all of the above approach. Social media could very well have been a very constructive tool, but at the same time, it wasn't enough to get everybody through every challenge that they faced.
Absolutely.
You needed face-to-face conversations, and that's where you guys came through.
Yeah, this is definitely a situation where you had to try anything and everything and all of it so that everyone, as many people as possible, could hear that message.
Dan, have you been following all of the controversy following the BWL after this?
Yes, I have.
Closely,
in fact, I was at the meeting last night.
You were there as
10:30.
Well. Oh, okay. How confident, given the fact that you were both at the meeting last night, how confident are you, Dan, that you can avoid going through this in the future? Are you prepared to be a citizen activist again here in the event of another severe ice storm?
I like to consider myself an optimist, but I'm going to keep that Twitter account open, and I'm going to continue keeping an eye on what the BWL is doing.
What's that handle again?
It is BWL Outage.
BWL Outage.
Yes,
okay.
That's the Twitter account, so at.
You were there last night as well, Alice. How confident are you that reforms... That what you did is going to be necessary on a grassroots level in the future?
I'm keeping my generator and keeping these contacts too, because I'm not yet convinced that BWL is gonna get it together in time for the next big problem. Lots of good people work there. There's no question lots of good people work there. But last night's meeting was, I have to say, shocking. What happened was, over and over again, BWL employees got up and praised Mr. Lark, the head of the company. In fact, they took up the time that was supposed to be dedicated to public citizens coming and reporting what they had done, what they had been through, what they thought would fix the problems. And instead of us really having the opportunity to do that, we were stuck sitting listening about how great a company it is. I don't doubt lots of good people work there. I want BWL to keep being my company. But that said, if that's what we're going to get is this kind of stonewalling, we're terrific, stop criticizing us, how dare you people criticize us, I have zero confidence that we're going to do a good, honest, in-depth analysis of what went wrong and fix it before it happens again. Last night's meeting left us, I think, more cynical, more bitter, more concerned. And that's terrible. At this point, really, BWL should be doing better. You know, they hired a PR company to try to help them. And the PR company last night on Twitter was distancing itself from BWL, saying, we weren't involved in the making of this meeting. We weren't involved in this. When your own PR company is doing damage control because it has a relationship with you, you have a problem.
We will learn more here in just a matter of minutes when Sandy Zirkle, the chairperson of the Lansing Board of Water and Light Board of Directors, joins us here. We will review other comments that were made throughout the course of last night's long meeting of the BWL. For now, we want to thank Dan Ryan of Lansing and Alice Drager of East Lansing. We appreciate you joining us here today for Neighbors in Action. Well
done. Thanks for having us.
We could always use more nominations, and we know that there are great people and organizations out there doing great work. We just don't know about them. So please help us out and send us an email, currentstate@wkar.org, put Neighbors in Action in the subject line, or tweet us @KAR Current State and tell us why you think they should be featured for the great work they do.